All right, welcome back for the first time in 2 years. Here we are, the D&D show, back together.
Hello.
It has been 2 years.
Holy crap.
Know that you guys are probably missing the dulcet tones of our voices, but you'd be pleased to know that the internet site's still up and running.
Yes, and we've both been keeping busy.
Very busy.
Yeah.
Been working out.
Watching a lot of TV. Working out.
Oh, been eating out.
Eating out a lot. Yep. Yes, done a bit of acting. Right. Let's get into it.
Let's do it. So the topic of this podcast will be about...
the Rugby World Cup.
Correct.
Yes.
So how do you think it's going so far?
Good.
Good. And that is the end of our podcast. Thank you.
Lovely. Thank you very much.
Woo! Got it.
Yes.
Anyway, so I thought maybe we could talk about, I don't know, how it's going in general, if you've got any favourite games so far.
I would just like to talk about something to do with rugby.
Yes.
There was like an old-fashioned thing where, I don't know, where coaches would stop players' wives from coming and stopping them from having sex before a game.
Yeah.
Do you think they still do that? And if they do, do you think it works?
Well, I don't
know. Does not having sex before a game make you a better player?
Well, I think if you extrapolate that out to real life, does having sex before you go to work affect your job performance?
It's a good question. I'm probably not in the sort of job where it would matter. Either way, it's not going to drain my energy too much. And, yeah, what's 2 minutes?
It's 2 minutes out of your day. Well,
yeah.
That's a good point.
Yeah.
I assume they still do some hardline stuff for some people, but I think probably the world's moved on from those old days and players are given a bit more freedom to be who they're going to be.
Yeah.
That's my thought.
Without going out, getting drunk, taking...
not until after the final whistle's gone, their final match. Then they can go out, get drunk, jump on top of cars, take some painkillers.
Which team will be the most disappointed and probably do the most stupidest, drunkest things? Well, I think we've probably already seen it, haven't we?
Yeah, England.
England, yes.
Yeah.
That award goes to England.
But to be fair, in the last World Cup, they didn't even have to be out of the tournament before they started getting drunk and doing stupid things.
That's right. So good on them.
They've clearly moved forward.
Very restrained this year.
Yes. Well done, Stuart Lancaster, for keeping your boys in check.
Good. But we haven't seen any footage yet. That's probably why. It'll come out in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, the English press are reasonably committed to finding those stories.
They're pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, should hear something.
If you can take down a princess, you can probably take down a rugby player.
I did hear that the issue was actually Beats by Dre.
Oh.
Yep, some of the players have Beats by Dre headphones, but the English Rugby Union said, no, you can't wear those because Samsung's our sponsor.
Oh.
So you have to wear those when you're getting off the bus and walking into the room. So... threw them out of all of their rhythm.
Yeah, that would.
The other best excuse I've heard from the World Cup is...
Was that actually an English... That was an excuse?
One of their excuses was that the players were upset because they were being micromanaged and they couldn't wear their Beats.
I'd be pretty upset.
Yeah.
It goes back to your question. If you, at your job, could not wear your Beats, would it make you a less OT?
I believe it would.
Yeah.
Because much like when Ma Nonu admitted that he wore makeup to feel better about himself, sometimes I buy expensive things to make myself feel better about myself. And when I feel better about myself, I'm much better at my job.
Yeah, true.
So when I'd lost my Beats for 6 months, terrible at my job, then I found them in a jacket pocket.
I understand. I love my Beats by Dre.
We are ready for an endorsement deal whenever you are, Dre.
Yeah, or Apple now. Actually filming, recording this on an Apple computer.
And it will be available across the podcast through the iTunes platform, which is also Apple.
We love apples and oranges.
Yes.
Any fruit, really.
Yeah. Anyway, and another one of my favourite excuses is probably from one of my favourite games of the tournament so far when Japan beat South Africa. That the South Africans are off their form because there was too much bird poo on their training pitch and they couldn't train as fully as possible.
No, that's fair.
Yeah.
Yeah. I find that when I'm teaching, if there's too much bird poo in the classroom, I just can't teach as well.
It's really hard to.
It's horrible.
It's hard. You just get it in the peripheral of your vision, not actually in your eyes, but you can see it.
Well, that would make it worse if it was actually in your eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might detach your retina if it came in fast enough, like on a wind of some sort.
Thinking of that, when a bird poos on you, it's meant to be good luck.
Yeah.
Whoever designed that? How's that good luck?
Probably the person that got pooed on.
Yeah, to make themselves feel
better. Maybe as the legend goes, maybe he got pooed on, brought a lotto, won $1 billion.
Yeah, it does sound like a pretty modern myth.
Yeah, it's probably more modern. Yeah. Otherwise, maybe he got pooed on one $10 at the local lotto store.
Yeah, or maybe it was a witch about to burn at the stake and a bird pooed on her and everyone was grossed out and ran away so she didn't burn at the stake.
Put the fire out because it was quite a big
I have heard an interesting one.
Yes.
Sorry, we're going to go a little bit away from Rugby World Cup. Surprise. Recently, I was doing an appraisal on someone at work.
Right.
And I was talking away to them and earlier they'd said, stop giving me false praise. I know I'm good at my job. You don't need to keep doing that.
Nice.
And so I said, oh, you may have noticed since our last meeting that I've stopped blowing smoke up your bum. And she had never heard that saying before and said, that is an interesting mental image, David. And I said, it's not a thing. I'm actually, is this a... And then I had that moment of panic in my head where I was like...
Have I just sexually harassed her?
Yeah. No, not that, but also, is this a saying that my dad said to me all my life that's not actually a saying and it's just a dadism?
It's a saying.
Yeah. And then I found out that, and then I found out where the saying apparently comes from. Oh,
do tell.
And so apparently, lining the River Thames for ages was big smoke bellow things.
Yeah.
And if someone drowned in the Thames, they'd pull them out of the Thames and stick it up their bum and blow smoke up their bum to try and revive them.
Wow.
I know.
Well, I'm lucky you didn't tell her that story because...
I did not.
The first imagery is probably all right in her head, but the second imagery has taken it too far, I think.
Yeah. So anyway, so that's... There you go.
I feel like I can't joke about that because it's actually quite serious.
Well, it's quite serious, but it's also... It was really ineffective because apparently your bum's not attached to your lungs. Who would have thunk it?
I know. Yeah, but breathing out your ass, though, that would be all right. I don't know how...
It's farting.
Maybe that's why they thought it would work.
Maybe.
Yeah.
If only we could be bothered researching deeper. Anyway, back to...
I think you actually did quite a bit of research on that, David.
Thank you.
I think that's quite a good one.
Thank you.
It's probably the most research we've done on a topic.
Back to World Cup then. Favourite games?
My favourite game was the England losing to Wales.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
Why?
Just because England lost, I think. I'm not going to go into it much deeper than that. I think I think England probably looked like the better team all the way through, and the stats probably backed England to win.
Yeah.
If you looked at the stats, but Wales, they did it at the end.
Yeah,
it was awesome.
For me, it was one of those classic games where I was texting a friend while I was watching it, and I said, "Ah, England are pulling away." Oh, and then, "Ah, Welshman got injured. It's going to be terrible." "Ah, why am I still watching? Another Welshman got injured." What? And then they came back. And I had thought, because I don't know if you have this as a sports fan, but where you think that your actions somehow influence the team.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm like, just because I'm watching, Wales are going to lose this. Yeah. I shouldn't watch, but then I watched.
I do it more with cricket, and it's something like, if I don't go to the toilet at all, then we'll get a wicket. And then they do get a wicket, and then I'm stuck for 5 hours not going to the toilet.
It's good.
Yeah. And then, like, you give up. You think, oh, man, this is terrible. I'm just going to go to the toilet.
Yeah.
And then they don't get another wicket.
Right, and it's your fault.
And it's your fault.
Well, it's your bladder's fault, actually.
Yeah.
Or you should just...
It's mental. I just wasn't tough enough. I just didn't give enough to the team.
It doesn't help when you get texts from, like, Brendan McCullum saying, if only you'd held on, we could have got something.
That's right, yeah. And I think what we're going to see with this World Cup and with it being New Zealanders is that if we lose this World Cup, we're going to take it pretty hard.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember a couple of losses and actually being pretty depressed the next couple of days, but the whole nation will weep.
Yeah. And perhaps a certain percentage of the whole nation, like Damien and myself, will blame it on going to the toilet.
Yeah.
Or I will personally blame it on watching the final live when I should have just not watched it at all.
Yeah, that's always a tough one.
Yeah.
Because sometimes I listen to it on the radio. So I think if I'm listening to it on the radio, it's better than watching it on TV because it's more luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
I am finding, though, like, we're getting a lot of different cross coverage. So we get the commentators from the main nation that's playing. So if it's, say, Australia and Namibia, or which it isn't because they're not in the same pool, but if it's Australia and a minnow, then we get Australian commentators.
Yeah.
And I've noticed that all the home commentators have been really biased. Like, this Dan England-Wales game.
Yeah.
Like, if you just listen to the commentary, England won by about 100 points.
Yeah. Which is, you know, because we're so used to listening to the balanced commentary of the New Zealand
Justin Marshall.
Yeah. definitely don't think we're the best rugby playing nation in the world. And
I love it when the New Zealand commentators, when we score a try and all you hear is, yeah,
it's true. And it's Justin Marshall maybe is just far enough away now from his playing career to not talk about how he would have done things different all the time.
Yeah, but he's close enough to be able to tell us how Richie's feeling in the dressing room, which I think is quite a good insight. Well, he'll be feeling like he really just wants to get out there and get it going. And, you know, he's been there before. I think it's good. But, yeah, he's pretty cool.
It's valuable insight. I think it's always funny, like, around everything sport, everything's just cliche, right? Like, it was a game of two halves. So full credit to the opposition. They played really well. Got to stop focusing on how badly we played and start focusing on how well they played.
Yeah.
Like, stuff like that. It's all just cliches.
Yeah.
And I'd love sometimes to be able to do that, like go to a job interview and they'll be like, so what are your biggest strengths? Well, I can tell you right now that I don't really like to talk about myself too much and what my strengths are. I'd rather talk about the team as a whole. And the team, I couldn't be who I am without my team.
I think that would work.
Yeah?
I think that would work with the OT business.
Yeah.
Teaching as well, I think it was a day of two halves. First half, the kids were all terrible. The second half, they were good.
Yeah.
So it worked.
Yeah, I pulled it together in the second half of the day. After lunch, got a boost. Yeah. You know.
We had the wind in the first half, and it really made a difference.
Yeah, definitely.
Is the best thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that'll be good. So we'd like you, Mr. Brittany's, to maybe explain a scenario in which your drama teaching could impact on someone. Do you think that drama's impacted on students you've worked with?
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Mr. Brittany. I went a bit wrong with my question, sorry.
It was good. But I think that that's what happens in rugby as well, is that you'll see a guy that's just played 80 minutes then a commentator who's thinking, yeah, I've got this awesome question. It's so witty and it's so cool and it's going to get so much depth out of the player. And the player gets confused and goes, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Or they've just like been running for 90 minutes and smacked in the head 100 times.
Yeah.
How are you feeling? Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. I think you can definitely answer that with for any question.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you could say, like, if you're doing parent teacher interviews, I guess you could be a bit sports focused as well.
Yeah.
You know?
We are at a sporting school, so a lot of the parents would appreciate that, I think.
Yeah. I mean, you could say something like sort of similar to what the All Blacks are saying right now. All Blacks are not playing like a well oiled machine at the moment.
No, not at all.
But they're sort of saying, well, you know, we're just getting things out of the way, right? So parent comes to you, his child's failing, you probably hit them with something. Oh, do you want me? Okay,
go on. Hit me.
I'll be you.
I'll be a parent.
Okay, you be a parent, you go.
How's little Jimmy doing?
Well, I'll tell you, it's skill set issues for Jimmy at the minute, and that's the easiest thing for us to fix. So he's currently failing all his exams by 20-25%. He's currently unable to hold a pencil, but if we can get him to work on holding a pencil, he might be able to answer some of the questions which should raise his game. It's very early days at the minute. We're just at the pre-trial exams, and the next week we've got the proper exams coming up. I'm expecting him to lift his game by then. You know, and he should be able to hold on to a few answers in his head, maybe get them out on paper. Should be able to progress forward. You don't get a gold medal for ears right now, so it should be all right.
But Stuart, his best friend, he actually did really well against Jimmy, and I was just wondering...
Yeah, all you really need to do is give credit to Stuart for the skills that he's been showing. I mean, initially at the start of the year, he was a Tier 2 sort of student, but he's moving up towards Tier 1. You may notice that he's not just giving away flippant answers anymore. He's bringing them in. He's a bit tighter and his answers a bit more concentrated. So therefore, his grades have lifted. But I believe that Jimmy might be able to pick up his grades and go above him. If you just look at it, it's basic skill set acquisition, like I said earlier on. Should be able to get it together from there.
And as a parent, I'm feeling pretty happy because I think my child, Jimmy, is a sports star.
Yeah. And if I just think like 12 years ago, if it was someone, it would be a similar conversation, but coaches were a bit more hard-nosed then and not quite so around with things. So ask the one relative to the boys again, like that he's not performing as well.
Oh, yeah. So Stuart seems to be doing a bit better than Jimmy. You know, what's with that?
Well, I'm really concerned also because you know what they say, second place for us loser. You know, so it's good to see the world progress.
Yeah. In the Buck Shelford days, I think Buck would have just yelled for like 3 or 4 hours about another topic.
Yeah.
And sworn a lot.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which probably would be good for. There's a lot of teachers that would probably like to do that.
Yeah.
As well. What I did like about your talk.
Yeah.
David, as the teacher, is that you had a manly coach voice.
Yeah.
And I think that that's...
I wasn't putting that on. Yeah. If I was a coach, that's how I'd
talk to people. I think it's important to be able to have a manly coach voice. Sometimes when I go to a mechanic, I have a manly coach voice.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I go, oh, there's something wrong under the hood of my car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see that. What do you think it might be?
Oh, yeah, you know, just I was having some beers the other night. I listened to the... When I turned it on, and it just went... Yeah. Funny, yeah, you know.
Oh, yeah, so what kind of thing's going on?
Yeah. Okay, I'll see you later. Good on you, mate. I lose it a little bit because I have no idea about cars.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know that they have wheels and shit.
Yeah.
That's probably about it.
I'm much the same when you're out and you sort of meet some random strangers and guys
start Especially if they're guys, yeah.
Yeah, but they start trying to share sex stories.
Oh.
You ever had that uncomfortable one? And you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, or woman, they're just... just there for me, right? And I'm like, yeah, not in my experience.
Yeah, I'm not sure what you mean.
And then I just have the manly voice going, yeah, no, actually, I respect my lady. And, you can't say that in your manly voice.
You have to swap it. You have to swap it.
Yeah, we spent some hours in the garden this weekend and planted some lovely dahlias.
She really loves a good root on her plant. It's great.
It's a bit hard to do, the manly voice about a lot of things. The other night she made me rub her back for hours because she had a sore back and I felt that it was my duty to make her feel a bit more comfortable.
Yeah, I always found that I did it with fathers as well when I would meet girlfriends' fathers. So, everything's going well, mate, Had sex with... No, I didn't. No, that's right. Yeah, but I always felt more comfortable with the women, with the mothers.
Yeah, when you'd be like... So I took your... No, you wouldn't, would you? You'd be like, oh, yeah, I took your daughter out. And it was really lovely. We had such a good time.
I'd be like, I love your clothes. Like, where did you get those? They're beautiful. What have you done to your hair? Oh, my God, I love your hair. Stuff like that. So if you could pick a team that you've... Like a dream team to win the World Cup, one that you probably will not, but you'd really love to win the World Cup, and then maybe the team that you think is going to win the World Cup.
Of who's left in contention.
On who's left, yeah. So there's still a couple that are... You're right.
Probably the team I want to win the World Cup, like in a dream scenario, will be Wales now, I think. Or maybe Ireland. Or I mean, the real dream one would be for Japan to go through and win the whole thing.
Yeah, I was going to say Japan as well.
Yeah, so probably just... Like, I think the Welsh always been quite good, and then just like last time, their captain got sent off in that semi-final really early on. Yes. And
they should have won that semi, though. It was a good... Yeah. Against France, wasn't it?
Yeah, and they play pretty nice rugby now, and they're a bit like us, right?
Yeah.
Same as New Zealand's attitude towards rugby, which is cool.
Yeah, they really did spread the ball against England. That I think they weren't afraid...
Yeah.
To run it, which is nice. It would be cool if Wales or Ireland won. And, if Japan get into the quarters, I think that'd be a dream for them.
Yeah, it would be cool.
But I can't see it.
They've just got to win with a bonus. Anyway, yeah.
And so who do you think is going to win it then?
I'm still going to be arrogant and say the All Blacks.
All right, that's nice.
Because as a New Zealander, you have to say that primarily.
Yeah.
Otherwise...
It's in our blood.
Yeah, you're kicked out of the country.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, hopefully us.
So you think, like, after all of this play that we've had, after, nearly four rounds for everyone, that New Zealand are the top team?
No, I think we're the biggest misfiring team of the top teams.
Probably the
Australia result over England, they looked really good.
Yeah. For me, I think a dream team to win would be the All Blacks because, two in a row, it would be their third, so they'd get to keep the cup.
Yeah.
It would be a really good farewell for Richie and Dan Carter. It would just be amazing for us to win. And it would be the first time that we've won away from home in a World Cup. And if we can't keep relying on having them at home to win them. So, for me, that would be the dream run. But I think that on form so far, that Australia, depending on... Because they lose... Is it Hooper they lose from suspension?
Just for one game, though.
Is it just one game?
Yeah.
So I think Australia are looking the best. Maybe Wales look good as well, but England pushed them, whereas Australia didn't look pushed.
Yeah. Now, what about South Africa? Look terrible.
They're dark horses, I think.
Yeah.
I think they've probably got an easier run to the final, haven't they?
And I'm a little bit terrified of potentially it might be an All Blacks France quarterfinal in Wales at Cardiff.
Yep.
So that can't count those Frenchies out.
No, they always have a way to beat us, don't they? They know how to do it.
Yeah.
It's the baguettes.
Yeah. I always blame it on the baguettes. So, also we might want to think about, like you were talking about Richie just then, and whether he's one of the greatest of all time. Do you think Richie McCaw is the greatest rugby player of all time?
Yeah, I think he's definitely the greatest New Zealand player of all time. Mm-hmm. And for me, he's in that top. He's in the top, I reckon, five of best in the whole world.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Colin Meads for me is up there as well. I think Colin Meads is probably one of the best ever, just because of what he did to the game. What about you?
Well, similar sort of thing. So it's really hard as a New Zealander to give credit to any other nation.
Yeah, that's right.
So I'd like to say that growing up through my time, I thought that Hugo Porter from Argentina gave great importance to the drop kick in rugby, which as New Zealanders we discredit as much as possible because you just have to score more tries, mate.
The Grant Fox was a bit of a drop kick.
Yeah, I liked Gavin Hastings from Scotland. And then, obviously, nowadays, I like Scott Berger from South Africa. I think he's really awesome. If he hadn't have got so sick, he probably would be...
He's awesome, though. He's still awesome, yeah.
Francois Pienaar was amazing. You don't agree.
No.
Okay.
Not with Francois.
Martin Johnson was pretty good. You know, I've just got to give credit to some other countries' players and that. But the player, I think, that has most changed rugby and changed the definition of a position, before Jonah Long, who played wing... Most wingers were probably about 80 kgs and really skinny and just fast.
Yep.
And now they're still really fast, but they all seem to be 105 to 120 kgs.
Yeah.
And just...
But a lot of wingers now play that utility role where they can play a couple of positions, don't they? Or they move around the field a lot more. Because in the old days, you would just stick to your side, wouldn't you? And the ball would spread out and then you'd just run. You'd bolt for it. Or you'd get the ball off a kickoff and you'd just bolt down your wing.
Yeah.
But Jonah Lomu didn't do that. So he became a ball running option in the middle, which was so crazy for a winger because you're running into the biggest forwards and the best forwards.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did. He changed the game. And he brought it into the commercial world as well. Like, he made it popular. He did what Ronda Rousey's doing to UFC, I think, right now. I mean, she's a machine. She's awesome. And I think that's what Jonah Lomu did. He was one of the first people to stay with the union, and so it could effectively go professional.
Yeah.
When a lot of people were thinking of going to a private. Yeah, he's wicked. And...
Yeah, and he doesn't. Well, it's that great thing that New Zealanders do. We shot him down when he was, and then when we found out that he had a bad kidney and was sick, and that everyone suddenly loves him and thinks he's amazing. But
in his actual playing time when he was an All Black, a lot of people in New Zealand rubbished him. I remember it so well. I loved him when he first, even that game against France when he was so little, and he looked rubbish, but you could tell he had something. He's a machine. He's so good. But what was odd is the rest of the world really loved him and couldn't understand why no one in New Zealand really liked him.
Yeah.
And I think New Zealand as well, is we get a little bit nostalgic. So with the big thing that's happening right now, we tend to like people that were before them, or people like John Kerwin or Jeff Wilson and him were about the same
time. Yeah. But, and I will say, there's a funny thing, because the last Rugby World Cup was Richie playing with a broken foot, where he just looked like he wasn't even training between games, was he? Because he couldn't do anything. Apparently, there's a story about Colin Meads playing for the All Blacks, that he was playing. He broke his arm in a scrum, came to the sideline, and the person attending to him said, "I think you've just pinched a nerve." And he went, "I'm not bloody coming off for a pinched nerve," and went back on and played the rest of the game. And when they checked him out after the match, had to take him for x-rays, and he'd broken his arm and played half a game with a broken arm.
Yeah, and I think Richie did the same as well. He didn't tell people it was broken, even though he probably knew it was broken.
Yeah.
He just said it was a sprain or something.
Yeah. So.
And just played on it.
Yeah, so that's sort of any other World Cup roundup things? Anything funny?
I can't think of anything funny.
No, neither. Oh, Sonny Bill's answer to... the journalist who said, "What are you going to do about catching the ball under pressure?" Because he knocked the ball on a few times in the last match. And he went, "Oh, I don't know, bro. You need to ask the coach." or maybe you can come down to training and show us how to do it.
Is that what he said?
Yeah.
That's good. There was a bit, I don't know much about it, but Quade Cooper posted something. He posted, it was either highlights of himself, or he posted something and it had a, it was to a gangster rap song.
All right,
and people are up in arms about it. But I thought that was pretty cool.
Was there highlights of him missing tackles?
Probably no. I don't know. I can't remember what it was. But maybe it, that's been a controversy so far.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wow. Gangster rap should not be associated with rugby.
That's right. Even though Beats by Dre, everyone's got them.
Yeah, except for the England rugby team.
That's right.
So on that note, I guess we should sign off. We might do some more rugby ones going through the rest of the tournament.
Oh, yeah. That'd be interesting.
Cool.
Okie dokie.
Well, bye from me.
Peace out.
Peace out.